In his apartment, high up in Rome's massive Quirinal Palace, Pius IX worried that his plan to escape might end in disaster. Little more than a week earlier, thousands of Romans had besieged the Quirinal, calling for a government of their choosing and an end to priestly rule. Men had wheeled a cannon into the piazza and aimed it at the palace entrance. The Pope's noble guardsmen, Roman aristocrats, normally eager to don their medieval uniforms and hobnob with the Pope, had deserted him, fearing for their lives. The cardinals, too, fled the city, blaming the Pope for their misfortune. When protesters that day set fire to a Quirinal gate, a small band of Swiss guardsmen did their best to shield the papal attendants who battled the flames. Clutching their rifles, members of the civic guard, composed of Romans of the better classes, climbed onto the roofs of neighboring buildings and began shooting at the palace. As the Pope's scholarly secretary of Latin letters, Monsignor Palma, looked out his window at the chaos below, a bullet punctured his chest, and he fell dead onto the marble floor. Rome had been under the Pope's control for well over 1,000 years. Now, as a revolutionary spirit gripped much of Europe, time seemed to have run out on the Pope's kingdom on earth. The pontiff's fall had been swift. Elected in 1846, Pius IX had initially been hailed as a popular hero in the Papal States, the swath of the Italian peninsula under his control. In March 1848, he had given his subjects a constitution, offering them rights unimaginable under his predecessors. A huge crowd bellowing "Viva il Papa" had poured into the Quirinal Square. Unable to resist his flock's pleas, the Pope had stepped out onto his loggia to bask in the warmth of the people's affection. As he raised his arms in blessing, the tens of thousands gathered below fell to their knees. That evening, oil lanterns cast a holiday glow over the people who paraded through Rome's cobblestone streets. Every piazza, it seemed, boasted a band, and thousands of Romans joined in hymns of praise to their beloved pontiff. Much had happened in the months since then, and now, at 5 p.m. on Friday, November 24th, 1848, it was time for the Pope to escape. Outside the Quirinal Palace, Duke Arcour, the diminutive French ambassador to the Holy See, stepped out of his luxurious horse-drawn carriage and entered the Quirinal Gate, ready to play his part. The Pope's authority, the ambassador had observed a week earlier, exists in name only. Pius was, in effect, a prisoner, his palace surrounded by hostile civic guardsmen. Should the Pope succeed in his escape, the ambassador had told Paris, he would very likely head for Marseille, and so the French government should lose no time making arrangements for a suitable welcome. The door closed behind the ambassador as he entered the study where Pius was waiting for him. The Pope was known for his good humor and easy charm, but now he was tense. He had not left the Quirinal Palace since rebels had slit his prime minister's throat 9 days earlier. From a separate door, the papal steward, Count Benedetto Filippani, entered. Together, the Pope and the Count hastened into the Pope's adjacent bedroom. There, with the nobleman's help, Pius lifted his white robe over his head and pulled off his red shoes. Although Filippani urged him to change quickly, the Pope lowered himself to his knees to say a final prayer, facing the crucifix on his table. "Have mercy on me, God, in your kindness. In your compassion, blot out my offense." To the steward's pleas that there was no time to lose, the pontiff replied with a bit of scripture, "Spiritus quidem promptus est, caro autem infirma." The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak.